I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a visit with Bonnie, the co-owner of Hinterhouse Distillery, located in Arnold, Calaveras County, California. Hinterhouse produces an array of spirits, including classic single malt whiskey, rye whiskey, bourbon, and gin. Come along and join the conversation with Bonnie to discover the rest of the story.
My name is Bonnie Boglioli Randall, and together with my husband, I own and operate Hinterhouse Distilling. And we are a distillery nestled in the Sierra Nevada in the town of Arnold, California.
That's so cool. How and when and why did it start?
This is the big question, yeah. Right? So I do have my husband to thank for this. He became involved in distilling after many years of doing home brewing. And I really honestly thought that it was just a fun side project mm-hmm. for him and that it would stay that way. I had a lot of experience in the wine industry myself, working in different AVAs in California. But then I also have a background in hospitality and marketing of hospitality. So eventually my husband said, I think that I want to do this distilling thing full time. Mm-hmm. And I think that we could really make a go of it.
What made him think that he could do that?
He is a problem-solving guy, and the more he got into the art and craft of distillation, the more he really wanted to explore more. And there was really only one way to do that, because in our country, in fact, in every country in the world, save for New Zealand, distilling is something that is illegal to do on your own. Mm-hmm. You have to obtain a federal license to distill, called right. the DSP. So in order to kind of take it up to the level that he really wanted to, mm-hmm. we knew that, okay, you have to become an official distiller with a DSP, and that means we're starting our own business.
Legit.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
When you look at a pro forma going into it, is there a scale, an optimal, you know, level that gives you the best potential for return on investment?
Yeah, this was a huge question. So when we entered, I'll preface by saying we were fortunate in our lives that my husband had worked in the corporate world mm-hmm. for all of his career.
So he had a little baseline.
We did. Yeah. And really, we were able to do this. It was much more than a passion project. It was absolutely a business. And we really spent more than a year going through the nitty-gritty details. But we were also okay with saying, hey, let's produce the best juice, in this case whiskeys mm-hmm. and vodka and gin, that we can, and if it can sustain itself in our hometown of Arnold, then we were good with that. Mm-hmm. Now, since then, that predates when we opened. That goes back to 2018 and 2019. Since then, the distillery has grown just through different recognition, awards, patronage has really significantly increased. So that's caused us to kind of reassess, okay, this maybe is something that we want to scale more than our wildest dreams before, but how mm-hmm. do we do that thoughtfully and intentionally?
Yeah, and not get in trouble.
Yeah, right, never.
Get out on the edge.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
In your philosophy, what role plays in looking back at the roots of the spirits industry in yeah. California? For example, Hopland, California.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, it's not there anymore, no. really, but 100 years ago, 150.
I always tell my patrons that are history buffs, of which I am one certainly, that in the early days of California, whiskey in some households, and I'm not condoning this, mm-hmm. was drank more than water.
In Scotland, yeah. whiskey is called uscavea yep. in Gaelic, which yep. means the breath of life. And what wow. you're alluding to is just incredible in that if you drank the water in California 150 years ago, you died.
Yes. This was a very real issue. So, I find it really fascinating that here in Calaveras County, California, where we are, our history is intertwined and interwoven with the American Gold Rush. And a lot of the men And women that came west seeking their fortunes knew whiskey as a reliable source of something to drink. And again, something that was easy to trade. So whiskey was a very prominent thing here up until Prohibition.
How do you guys loop in and pay homage to that in your industry, in your distillery? Yes.
For us, our very first priority is every spirit we produce, we want it to reflect our region of the Sierra Nevada. Mm-hmm. And that encompasses all of its history and what people think of. I grew up on the East Coast, and to me, the California West and the Sierra Nevada was always this mythical place, and it remains that way. I remember the first time that I visited Yosemite, the first time I came here to Calaveras County and visited the giant sequoia at Big Tree State Park. It was just this iconic thing that somehow was infused in my own memory, even though at that point I had never been here. Mm-hmm. So with every spirit we produce, we want to bring a sense of terroir, to take that from the wine industry. We want people to actually taste a part of our neck of the Sierra. So for our vodka, which is the best USA vodka this year from the World Vodka Awards, to our gin, which was the gin of the year from Sunset Magazine last year.
This is crazy.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. Those are distilled from local wine. Mm-hmm. So we say they're grape distilled, and we partner with nearby wineries. We get wonderful, generally rich red wine varietals that grow so well in the Sierra foothills here. And we turn them into our award-winning vodka and gin. And then the whiskeys we equally have fun with. Our American single malt whiskey is a newer product for us, though it has been aging since we've opened our doors. Mm. And we are utilizing some native yeast, so we do open fermentation at our distillery, and we're sourcing 100% Northern California barley, shining a spotlight on the farmers of our area. So basically everything we do really comes down to paying homage to this part of California and the West.
And how about the barrel aging?
Barrel aging is huge.
Yeah, because you can tweak the smoothness big time.
Absolutely. And with whiskeys, barrel aging is really where the distiller gets to roll up their sleeves and have some fun in the sandbox. Mm-hmm. My husband and our son are our two distillers, so seeing them work together on aging our whiskeys and some other spirits, we produce brandy as well, is really where they get to have fun and be creative, put a stamp.
And patience.
Very. Very.
I mean, you're talking years, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, it really is a long time. So for that reason, the longer our distillery is around, the more we look forward to introducing our patrons and guests to a broader array of what we have been quietly barrel aging for the past 4 years.
So they keep sneaking in and stealing a little to see how it's going, right?
Yep. No, that's exactly it. And you really have to keep your eye on it.
Yeah.
With our bourbon whiskey, which we produce, bourbon has a slew of bourbon laws. Chief among them would be that bourbon is distilled primarily from a mash of corn, and it must...
What, 51%?
Exactly, a minimum of 51%. And it has to be aged in new, charred, white American oak barrels. So that doesn't change from bourbon to bourbon. That gives bourbon a lot of the attributes that, as consumers, we look for. However, once it's completed its aging, you are allowed to move it into what we refer to as finishing barrels. This is a secondary aging process.
Oh, interesting.
And we use Calaveras County wine barrels to finish our bourbon. Some of the batches will sit in the wine barrels for up to 6 months. So it's more than just a few days. We really want the wine that has seeped into the walls of the barrels to really blend and marry and add character to our bourbon. So it's a fun one.
That's so funny. Back in the day, the Scots loved the American bourbon industry because that's how they could get cheap barrels. And then even better, Macallan, I love this. Back in the day, they would go and buy in the docks of Liverpool used sherry hogshead casks purely because it was cheap. And it wasn't until 12 or 14 years later that they went, oh my God. And that's why I fell in love with single malt, was because of Macallan's, because of their sherry cask aging.
Totally right there with you. We absolutely share a passion for single malt whiskey. Mm-hmm. And obviously that is the whiskey of Scotland. We craft an American single malt. We're really proud to be a producer of American single malt. It's a pretty nascent but growing type of whiskey in this country. And again, we're trying to leverage some of the best things that we love from our favorite scotches, but put them into the context of a California single malt.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So are you going face to face with the Scots?
That's really funny. Yeah. Kind of. Yes. So for Hinterhaus itself, our American single malt, we've only released a couple of batches at this time. So it's not super widespread. We do ship some around the country, and we have distribution partners in California and Colorado who carry that product. But for the most part, you got to come here to get it.
Mm-hmm. Literally to the source.
Really, literally to the source. Mm-hmm. But we are members of the American Single Malt Commission, which is a group of American distillers. Some of them are quite large and then others are small, and we're all producing single malt. And I do believe that they have put up some billboards in the beautiful country of Scotland touting the American single malt, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it's something to be on the lookout for people that are interested in emerging whiskeys.
That's interesting, because going back in time, it was the Japanese who just took off and went viral with their own concoctions.
It's really fun, and it allows us to always be rethinking or redefining whiskey as we know it, because I feel like whiskey has obviously such an old tradition and heritage around the world, going back to Scotland and Ireland, and then in the United States amongst the American colonists early on. But that doesn't mean that we need to be stuck into doing things the way it has always been done. We can learn from those past traditions, but hopefully at Hinterhaus, we're really trying to bring something unique that you're not going to find in other bottles.
Cool. A moment, paint a picture of, you have a tasting room, a retail venue. Where are you located, and what would somebody find there?
Great. Yes. So we are along Highway 4 in the small town of Arnold, California. We now have, I would say about 7,000 square feet of space. Most of it is devoted to our production facilities. So we do open air fermentation in a huge 2,000 gallon fermentation tank. We have our distillery production entirely there, and our barrel warehouse is there. But in addition, we always invite people to stop in and see us. We open our doors to the public Thursday through Sunday, and our hours are on our website and social media, which I always tell people, please find us on Instagram. And we have a lovely, hopefully very welcoming tasting room. We have a bottle shop. We have a small mercantile shop that sells our gear. And we also have the unique offering of making cocktails. So we handcraft cocktails. There is a limit. Everyone is limited to one per day. And that's a unique state law having to do with distilling. But we hope that it invites people to come and linger and see for themselves how our spirits taste in the context of a great drink.
Can somebody order a bottle and have it shipped?
Yes, thank you for asking. So we ship through distribution partners on our website to 41 states across the country.
Cool.
So chances are good that wherever you are or your friends and family are, we could get you some bottles of our
Nine that don't, that's some Neanderthal laws, right?
There are some very unique laws in the distilling space, and a lot of them actually go back to Prohibition. Effectively, in the state of California, it's only been in the last decade or so that distilteries could sell direct to their consumers, let alone taste their product.
Real recently,
Yes. So I do suspect a lot of these laws will evolve and change with time. But right now, we try not to let them constrain us. We try to get people our spirits wherever they are if we can.
That's so cool. To learn more about your world.
Yes, so please head on over to Hinterhaus, and Haus is spelled the German way for house, H-A-U-S, distilling.com. You will be able to learn all about my family-owned and operated distillery in Calaveras County, California. You can have our hours there. You can have our spirits shipped to you. And of course, you can follow us on social media, also at Hinterhaus Distilling.
I love it. Now I want to taste.
Bonnie Boglioli Randall, Hinterhaus Distilling in the town of Arnold, California.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. We'll see you at Hinterhaus.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Being there matters, and your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief, your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters, and America's Navy is already there.